Our study continues in the 20th chapter of Ezekiel. We're now down to the 23rd verse. And the setting for this chapter is that some of the elders had come to Ezekiel and started to inquire of the Lord. And these were people who were guilty of these grievous sins against God, they and their forefathers. And so God says to Ezekiel in the first part of the chapter, "As I live, I will not be inquired of by you." These people were not qualified to come and start asking about God, inquire as to why this and why that, and have God give them an explanation. And God shows why they're not qualified. He recounts the sins that this nation had been guilty of. He starts back in their captivity in Egypt, how that they were rebellious then. He shows how he brought them out of Egypt in spite of that. When they got to the wilderness, there again they rebelled against him some 10 times. And he, rather than completely destroy them, he just allowed that generation to live and die in the wilderness. Then when they got down to the plains of Moab, ready to go into Canaan, there they rebelled again. And that's where we are in this present part of this chapter. And so in verse 21, he says, "Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said, I would pour out of my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness." Now God decided that they were not worthy to be allowed to live anymore, and he was going to completely destroy them. But he said in verse 22, "Nevertheless I withdrew mine hand, and I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth." So because of the fact that the heathen were watching him, he did not want to leave a false impression upon them to think that he was not a good and just God, that he was not really going to do the things that he had promised his people. So in spite of their sin, he withdrew and didn't destroy them, but let them go ahead and live. And so he says in verse 23, "I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries." Now that's one of the things he said that was going to happen as a result of their sins. They would be scattered among the heathen. They would be dispersed among the countries. "Because they executed not my judgments, but had despised my statutes, and had polluted my Sabbath, and their eyes were after their father's idols." Now in Deuteronomy 32, Moses, as he gives his last song in this book, talks about this. In the 20th verse of Deuteronomy 32, he says, "And he said, I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith." Then in verses 26 and 27, "I said I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men, were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord has not done all this." So because of the fact that the adversary, the enemy, the nations round about were observing these actions, and God was afraid they would misunderstand and misinterpret what he'd done, that's the reason that he stayed his hand. That's the reason he didn't scatter them at that very time. He was prepared then to scatter them among the heathen and to disperse them among the countries. And the only reason that he didn't do it at that particular time was because of the fact that the enemies were observing and he was afraid they would misinterpret his actions. So in verse 22 he says, "I withdrew mine hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth." And the reason that God felt this way about them, that he wanted to scatter them, he wanted to annihilate them, he wanted to cease their remembrance to be among men. He didn't want them to even have any recording in history left, even. They were so wicked. The reason for this is because, he says in verse 22, "because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes." Now this was the main reason right here. They did not carry out, did not live in, did not fulfill the things that God had given them in his judgments, in his law. They had defiled his law. They had cast his law down and taken something else in the place of it. He says, "They had despised my statutes." As we stated before, a statute is a limitation that's given upon us. It's a prescribed limit Something's written down, we can go to it, we can read it, and we know that's what the law says. In this particular case, it's the law of God. We know what God's law says. They despised my statutes, he said, and had polluted my Sabbaths. Of course, as we know, the Sabbath was the time, not only the day of rest, but the day that was a holy day. And this was the way God wanted them to worship him at that time, on a weekly basis, known as keeping the Sabbath day holy. And they had polluted this. They'd done other things on this day that they should not have been doing. And were we keeping the Sabbath day holy today, we would have to do the very same thing they were commanded to do then, when they were first commanded to keep that Sabbath day holy. But for a person to do this, to live under the law that prescribes that they should keep the Sabbath day holy, for them to pollute it indicates a breach between them and God. They like something else better than they like God. They do not want to worship God. And this same attitude and same principle applies today when we see those who do not want to assemble with the other members of the church. They do not want to be with the other members of the church. They do not want to participate in the public and formal worship of the church. Then they're making a break with God. They're the same as polluting his Sabbaths. And in Hebrews 10:25, the New Testament says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So when there is an occasion for us to assemble together, we should maintain that assembling of ourselves together and not get to the point that we have forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as Paul says, or the manner of some is. It's necessary for us to exhort one another, to build one another up. It's necessary for us to have this contact with each other. And so, although we're not keeping the Sabbath day holy when we do this, we nevertheless are keeping the commands that are given to the New Testament church, and that is a necessary thing for us to participate in. And so he says, "They had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols." They hadn't given up this idea of still following these idols, of still giving some kind of homage, some kind of recognition, some kind of service to these idolatrous things that they'd received from their fathers. And so he begins in verse 25 then to say what the result of this was. He says, "Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live." Now this verse can be on the surface a little difficult to understand as to why God would give these holy and righteous laws, why God would condemn them for not following in these holy righteous laws, and then say that he gave them statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. And when we stop and look and see what the context is, though, it's not hard for us to see what he has in mind here. The law, as it was given originally by God on Mount Sinai, was a good law. There was nothing about it that was a judgment that shouldn't be lived in. He says in Nehemiah 9, verse 13 and 14, "Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest unto them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." There we see that this law, in its original form, the way God intended for it to be kept, was a good, holy, perfect law. Now, this people, because they had despised his law, because they had polluted the Sabbaths, because they had not executed his judgments, then God allowed them to have judgments that were not good, statutes that were not good, things that they should not live in. And I don't know that any of the laws that God gave and that are written as one of his permanent statutes falls into this category. But because they had taken other laws that God didn't intend for them to have, then God gave them up to these things. And we have an example of this being taught in Romans, the first chapter. Here in the first chapter of Romans, Paul is talking about how the heathen had turned from God and didn't like to even know about God. And so he says in the 24th verse, Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So God gave them up to this. He no longer strove with man. He no longer tried to get man to change and to repent and to see the true and living God. He just gave them up to these things and let then the sin be its own punishment. In verse 26 he says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. So God gave them up to sin, and let sin be its own punishment. And as we can readily see, those who live in sin have actually a certain punishment that is inherent with sin. The way of the transgressor is hard, and so God doesn't have to bring a lot of punishment upon a sinner. If he'll just let him go, if he'll just give him enough rope, he'll hang himself, so to speak. He says here, they're receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, which was appropriate. We have today, for example, a practice that's condemned right here in this passage, the homosexuality. It is a condemned practice. And we see that there are diseases now that are peculiar to homosexuality. And these are very devastating diseases. Some of these diseases, the body loses its ability to produce an automatic immunologic response to other diseases. And about 70% of these conditions are found to be among homosexuals. So these conditions of sin are many times their own punishment, and God just gives them up to this. They're living in a state of total ignorance so far as God goes. They do not know the laws of God. They do not know how to live, how to have life, and how to have it more abundantly. They do not know how to prepare for the next life that's coming after this one. They do not know how to get rid of their sins. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, and so God gives them up. And he says in this 28th verse of Romans 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, do those things which are not convenient. And he goes on and names the sins. So we see there where God plainly states that in the case of the Gentile, he gave them up to do sins, to have laws that were not good because they had chosen to go that way. And so that very same principle certainly can be applied here in this 25th verse of Ezekiel 20. He says, I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live, which means that they have taken on the ways, the statutes, the judgments of the nations round about them. They've elected to worship their gods. They've elected to use these nations as their pattern for how to behave themselves. And so God gave them up to this. He let them have these sins, not because he approved of them, but because these things were going to lead to further downfall and ruination of the nation, and this would be then just punishment for them to have brought upon them. Now, another way that this could be fulfilled is that when they did sin, that then God made pronouncements upon them that would be punishment for their sin, and that could be the judgments that he gave that were not good, and the statutes that were not good, and the judgments whereby they should not live. For example, in the case of Korah, when this sin was committed in Numbers 16, 21, God said, separate yourself from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. God was ready to just consume this whole nation of people. And it was because of this terrible sin. And so they fell on their face, verse 22, and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and thou be wroth with all the congregation? So some of these judgments that God gave, some of these statutes he gave, were statutes that weren't good. They would have wiped out the nation because of their sin. Again, we find in Numbers 25, in verse 4, when this people had committed the grievous sin in Moab and their adultery and fornication, beginning in, let's go back to the first verse of Numbers 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take all the heads of the people, and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. So you see, there's one of those statutes and one of those judgments that God gave that wasn't good for the people. This was a terrible thing for them to be punished like this, but it was punishment they had justly deserved. And so as a result of their disobeying his statutes, then he gave further rules regarding their punishment, regarding their chastisement, which would lead to the annihilation of some of them, that could be classified as statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. They couldn't live with this kind of a judgment that God had placed upon them. And again, as we read in Deuteronomy, the 27th chapter, we find where God incorporated in his law, because of their sins, he incorporated in his law numerous curses. And the people were to, when they got into the land of Canaan and stood on Mount Ebal, and these curses were given from Mount Ebal, and the blessings were given from Mount Gerizim, they were to say after each curse, Amen. So be it. So we have given three areas in which this 25th verse could be fulfilled. One would be giving them up to sin. Two would be the judgments that God pronounced upon them as a result of their sin, causing many of them to be put to death. And thirdly, then, are these curses. These could be fulfillments of this 25th verse, which says, Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. I would like to add one more possible scripture to this list that could be a fulfillment of this 25th verse, and that is Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, where Moses gives the law concerning divorce. This is the first time and the only time in the whole Bible where a law is given that allows a man to put away his wife. This law was given in Deuteronomy 24, which is at the very time the people were on the banks of the Jordan River ready to go into the land of Canaan. It was at the very time that he's talking about in this 20th chapter of Ezekiel. It was a law that was given contrary to what God's ordinary judgments were. It would not have been given had man not had hardness of heart and been sinning. So it is very likely that this is one of those statutes that God gave them that was not good, and one of those judgments whereby they should not live. Now he further continues this thought in the 26th verse by saying, And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. Now one of the things in particular that they did, that God didn't strike them down dead for doing, he let them do it, but it was something that very greatly polluted them. He said, I polluted them in their own gifts. And he's talking about here the sacrifice, the worship, the gifts that they would give to the idols. And he names specifically what he's talking about. In that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb. That is, they caused their children to pass through this fire to the god of Moloch. And this was a very ungodly act, for God made claim on the firstborn from the womb for himself. And in order for the people to have this firstborn for themselves, they had to go and have him redeemed from the Lord, like Joseph and Mary did with their son Jesus when he was 6 weeks old. And to first of all offer this child to the god of Moloch, to have him pass through the fire, and whether this was a true offering that brought about the death of the child, or whether it was just an offering that was symbolic of him being given as a gift to Moloch, it doesn't state here for sure, but it's probably including just a symbolic offering to Moloch. Then this was a very unpleasing thing in the sight of God. This is something he describes here as polluting them in their own gifts. This polluted the people. This made them drip with the guilt of absolute sin, idolatry, mockery of the true and living God. And so, in allowing them to do this, the end result was, he says, that I might make them desolate to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. This is going to bring about their total downfall. This would cause them to cease to have a religion that was acceptable to God. This would cause them to cease to be a faithful member of the household of God. And it would bring them to such an end that they would be desolate. They would be without. They would be in a state of absolute poverty, abject poverty. And of course, we know it did eventually lead to the destruction of the nation and the being carried away into captivity. And most of the people were destroyed right there at Jerusalem in Judea at this particular time Ezekiel is prophesying about. And only the remnant were even allowed to be given the privilege of being taken into captivity. And the end, though, to all this was that they might know that I am the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose. This is the goal, not just to destroy a people. God can destroy a people without any problem. That's no great thing for God to do that. But the end result of all this was that they would then come to God. They would realize that these idols were nothing. They would realize that these gifts they were giving, that they had chosen to give, that God never intended for them to give, these gifts were leading to their downfall. And then the end result would be that they might know that I am the Lord. And it's very highly possible that even today, as we worship God in the wrong manner, as we see people that prescribe their own method by which to worship God, they give gifts the way they want them to be given and not the way God would have them to be given at all, that they may be walking in the same footsteps as these children of Israel, and that they will be made desolate, and they are made desolate, and they can't understand why these things are happening to us, why we're in such a position as this. And the end, though, is that they might know that I am the Lord. They've gotten off the beaten track. They've left God. And so they have to know that the things they're now doing are not acceptable. They're not going to gain them the favor of God. They're not going to get them the things they need to have in this life. And consequently then, they have to make a change. They have to make a turn and to really know then that I am the Lord. To know that you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve idolatry and God. You cannot serve the things of man, the traditions of man, and also serve God. Not that you shouldn't serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. God will not participate with you in a situation like that. So your own gifts then can cause you to be polluted. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is N.C. Crouch saying goodbye, friends.